So what does the pastor talk about the Sunday after Easter? Haven't we said it all last week? Be not afraid. There is a sermon. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, I Doubt It. Based on our gospel from John 20 just read, listen to these verses again. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came the first time. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. I invite you to follow your sermon outline that's provided for you in your service folder. And on that outline, you'll find again our theme, I Doubt It. Doubting Thomas. Don't be such a doubting Thomas. How many times have you ever said those words or heard those words spoken in seriousness or perhaps even in humor? But at a deeper level, these phrases deal with an issue in each of our lives. In each of our lives that causes untold pain and sorrow. The inability to believe in something or to trust someone. In our sermon today, we're going to talk about the Apostle Thomas, the doubter. And we are going to see ourselves in him. And we will hear our risen Lord speak to us what he first spoke with Thomas. And this morning, we will move from I doubt it to yes, Lord, I believe you are my Lord and my God. Thomas, how could you doubt? You know, I never used to have any sympathy for Thomas. How could he doubt? He'd known Jesus. He had listened to his voice. He had felt his touch. He had walked by his side. How could he? That's what I used to think. But today, I'm not so quick to put Thomas down. How can I doubt? How can you? Today, just 1 week after Easter, just 1 week after we celebrate Jesus' resurrection victory, doubt is our ready companion. Doubts can come too quickly to each of us, more than we want to admit. Thomas is our middle name. Oh, we probably don't have the same doubts that Thomas had. No, for most of us, we don't seriously doubt Jesus' resurrection. That we can trust without much reservation. But our doubts are different. Yet they hurt us nonetheless. Our doubts are often centered on things simpler than Easter, more mundane than the resurrection. Our doubts are often more focused on the here and now, in our relationships, in our finances, in our children, in our work, or our schooling, or our own health. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God this morning. What are your areas of doubt today? What areas in your life do you have a hard time entrusting into God's care? Our doubts and our fears in these little things lead us to bigger questions, lead us to deeper questions. Like, where are you, God, in this mess? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Like Thomas, we need assurance. Like Thomas, we need the resurrection gospel. Listen to the text. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas fell before him and answered him, "My Lord and my God." We need to see the nail prints. We need to see the gaping spear wound in his side. We need to hear our Lord say to us, "Peace be with you." But wait. Wait. We have seen and heard such things. Just last Sunday, Easter Sunday. And yet, we come this morning with our doubts. Why? Because despite the resurrection gospel, despite the resurrected Lord, despite the Easter celebration, we have been busy looking for assurances in this life in all the wrong places. Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the trust? Is your doubt the result of trusting in worldly institutions? You see, work lets us down. Government lets us down. Even our church and the people within her walls let us down. Hey, you, Thomas, are your doubts the result of trusting in other people? Our spouse lets us down. Our children let us down. Our friends let us down. We let ourselves down. And when our trust is placed in any of these directions, and they fail us, and oh, they will fail us, doubts rush in to fill the vacuum in our hearts. And we ask, "Where are you, God, in this mess? And why, God, why? And when, God, when?" Hey, you in the back row, Thomas. Is your doubt the result of looking for security in personal circumstances? In things like good feelings, lack of problems, constant good health, other people always liking you? Well, these things, let me tell you, let us down and melt away as quickly as snow on a sidewalk in plus 10 degree weather. And then our doubts come and we say, "Where are you, God, in this mess? And why, God, why? When, God, when?" Hey, Thomas, you've been looking for human solutions, for temporary feelings, for fleeting fixes, not at the nail prints. You haven't been looking at the nail prints. Hey, Thomas, that's not what the resurrection is all about. The nail prints and wounded side never give us those insurances. The nail prints and wounded sides never promise us a lack of problems, constant good feelings, never-ending good health, and constant affection by others. But into a room filled with fear-filled disciples, the doors of whom's room was locked because of fears and doubts, Jesus came and said to them, "Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you." Into the doubt-filled and fear-locked life of Thomas, Jesus came and said, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. I am with you. And into the doubt filled and fear locked lives of us today, Jesus comes with the same words, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. I am with you. Yes, Jesus still comes to us Thomases. Listen to the text. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas fell before him and said, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so today, through the preaching and teaching of God's word in worship service and Bible class, through his body and blood of the Lord's Supper, and through the holy waters of holy baptism, the risen, victorious Lord comes to us today. And through these means of grace, he says the same thing to us today that he said to them in that upper room, Shalom Aleichem, my peace I give to you. He comes to us, the scripture says, by our believing, we may have life. And Jesus said in the text, blessed are those who believe. Believe not in perfect institutions, perfect feelings, perfect health, perfect relationship, and a life with no problems. But no, blessed are those who believe in the Heavenly Father, who has created us and sustains us, in a Son who has died and risen for us, in the Holy Spirit who creates and nurtures faith in our hearts, that by believing we may have life, real life, in Jesus' name. The scripture makes it clear. Jesus is the life. In other places in John's gospel, Jesus says things like this. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. For Thomases like you and me today, he brings life. He brings himself. So he comes to us today in our locked rooms. Right through our locked doors of fear and doubts. And he says to us today those precious words we need to hear. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. I am with you always. The nail prints that Jesus shows us today tells us with strength and with confidence, you do not have to strive hopelessly to find peace and security in worldly things where it never will be found. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have abundant life. Now, what does Jesus mean that he's come to give us the gift of abundant life? Now, rather than trying to impress you or confuse you with theological formulations, let me recount to you a true story that illustrates the abundant life that Christ's peace can deliver. A number of pastors and church workers were gathered at a conference center in Ohio when I was a young pastor to hear a main speaker. When he came to the podium, we automatically saw there was something very unique about this man. He was a man with no arms. When he stood at the podium, his suit jacket pockets were tucked. His suit jacket arms were tucked into the pockets of his suit. And he stood behind the podium. He did something amazing. As quickly as you and I would turn the page of the Bible with a hand, he slipped a foot out of his shoe and turned the page of the Bible and began his address. Preaching the scriptures and telling his story, born as a young boy without any arms, he went through life always having a desire in his heart to be a pastor. But he was told by almost everyone who met, you could never be a pastor. The simplest things you'd need to do, you could not do without any arms. One smart aleck actually said, how would you ever baptize a baby? You have no arms. But he persevered and went to university and went to seminary and he became a pastor and he served a congregation and he served the most of his ministry in a veterans war hospital, taking care of the wounded and the disabled, other men who had lost arms and legs as well. And how did he baptize a baby? When it was explained to me, it was very moving. He simply asked the parents to raise the child a little higher than they normally would. And the baptismal font was filled with the holy waters of baptism. He bent over the waters of baptism and with his own lips kissed the water. And then he kissed the forehead of that baby saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What could be more sacred and holy? Now I can imagine when he was a young boy and as he grew up, he might have said to himself a few times, it would have been better if I hadn't even been born. But out of his encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ brought him life, abundant life, that dispelled in his heart any doubts, the fears of the world would try to throw upon him. And at the conclusion of his address to the pastors and church workers, he read two passages of Holy Scripture that he said became the theme for his life. There were the passages of Scripture. This is life, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, and for me to live is Christ. Now that's life. And what should now be our response to the risen Lord Jesus that gives us this same life? With Thomas, we are to come to the place where Jesus is. Thomas had his fears and doubts, but Thomas did not remain an island to himself. He went to the place where the other disciples were gathered. And there was Jesus with his wonderful nail-pierced hands and his words of promise, peace be with you, I am with you. And when in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, Thomas's doubts melted away so he could confess in faith, you are my Lord and my God. Thomas shows us how crucial it is for us to come to the place where Jesus is and where his disciples are gathered today. We call that place the church. Especially in worship. And the study of God's Word in Bible class is the place where Jesus Christ promises to be found, where He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am surely in their presence. My friends, do you want to deeply know and trust the presence of God that can alone dispel your doubts and fears? Then come where Jesus met Thomas. Come to the disciples where they're gathered. Come in this holy place. And like Thomas then, as we have gathered with the disciples, we also respond to our risen Lord with joyful service. Because believing that Jesus rose from the grave with victory over sin, death, and the devil, Thomas spent the entire rest of his life and to the point of his death serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, although the Bible is silent about the rest of Thomas's life, early church history records that doubting Thomas became Thomas the Apostle, the man who was responsible of bringing the Christian faith to the country of India. And there Thomas also gave his life as a Christian martyr, willing to die than to deny his faith in his risen Lord. Thomas served Jesus with his last breath. Even the threat of death could not destroy Thomas's faith in his nail-pierced and risen Lord. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated. The gates of heaven are open wide. This is the truth of Easter. This is the truth that dispelled Thomas's doubts. This is the truth of God that dispels our doubts today. All that is left for us to do is to join along with Thomas and the armless pastor and with all the saints of God to fall before our risen Lord and confess this faith. Lord, you are my Lord and my God. Doubting Thomas, no more. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.